We haven't been on Romans for a couple of weeks because Brother Jeff Ellis came in on a Wednesday and preached, did a great job. And then last week I felt impressed just to do the missions. And so we didn't do Romans. And then hopefully I can get to, I get to a lot of it to you today. But I did want to see this. When the last time we were here, we finished Romans chapter 1 about the rational sinner. And I saw in the paper, I think it's today's paper. I get it every day. Yeah, today's November 17th. In today's paper, atheists, which is a rational sinner, atheists hope to spur dialogue with ads on Kent buses. I never, well, they have two of them up there in Kent. I never even seen one. But it went on to say, keep religion out of government. Imagine no religion in a stained glass window and sleeping on Sundays. Nothing says he has to go to church anyway. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has placed signs in buses in other colleges and towns in major cities, including Chicago, Madison, Seattle, and San Francisco. Doesn't surprise me, it's in San Francisco. Anything goes in San Francisco. That's got to be the most wickedest city in the world, and it'll be the first to go in the ocean, I guarantee you. If it ever does go in the ocean, I'll be praying for it. I'll be applauding it to go in. And if you know anybody that's in there, tell them to get out, because judgment, it fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to fall on San Francisco. Whether it's going to fall in the ocean, I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. They're definitely going to get judgment. The people out there in San Francisco are stupid. Not only that, they're not stupid. They're just wicked. The whole California hasn't got problems, man. They banned putting little prizes in the Happy Meals in California, but it's okay to take marijuana. Yeah. I mean, when you look at California, I mean, they think it's all right for same-sex marriages, but they want to stop you from eating food that might make you heavier. I mean, just, they're whacked. Yeah. These people out there are whacked. Yeah. Of course, it's all San Francisco's filled with rational sinners. San Francisco is filled with the rational sinners, because it's probably the biggest city with queers in the United States. And those definitely are rational sinners according to the Word of God. So, anyways, there's a handful of them up here in Kent. Out of that university, when I was talking to you about the rational sinner, I told you they strived and they thrived in the colleges today. And this is a Record Courier. It's a good paper now that Kathy's a member here. I used to call it the Wretched Courier, but now that Kathy Samuel's a faithful member, Jim, that's the wonderful Record Courier. I love the Record Courier, buddy. Greatest paper. It's the greatest paper that our city's got. It is. It's the only one, but it's. Anyways, I did write down. I wrote. He goes on to say, the FFRF, the campaign is meant to let the general public and other atheists, agnostics, and secular humanists know that they exist. We want them to know that we're here. They don't believe there's a God, but they want to let these people know that they're there. You know, a lot of atheists, you know, just don't know they are. And it goes on and talks about one kid from Kent State University, junior psychology major and vice president of the Kent State Free Thinkers, said this group couldn't pass up joining the FFRF's campaign. That's why I tell you, be slow to send your kids to those secular colleges. That's why even I'd rather send them to a Christian college that has some other things. Matter of fact, we were talking someday in the future. I don't know if I'll ever get to see this, but once we get on the land, get going, we get big. We're running around 800,000. We'll have a Bible college again where we can have, and we're hoping that they have dorms, and we're hoping to we've got a lot of kids that got diplomas in here too, and not just have Bible teachers, but have kids that could teach, like for instance, Philip's wife, Marlena. She knows science and all kinds of stuff like that, and we could put her in class, you know, and other people teaching. Debbie's an English major, and you can have other things besides Bible, but we have a lot of qualified people in our church, and we could open up to so kids wouldn't have to run off. You know, you don't have to be a preacher to go off. And one of the worst things you can do is send your kids to a secular college. I know you're going to get mad at me, but I'm telling you the truth. One of the greatest things you can do is send them to a Bible college, at least if it's a fundamental college, at least for 1 year. This free thinker, I think the campaign is good in two ways. One, just to increase visibility and knowledge about who non-religious people are. Well, you're idiots. The Bible says what you are. You're a fool. The Bible says only a fool has said in their heart there's no God. I know there's a lot of negative misconceptions and stereotypes, like we can't be moral or we worship the devil. We see a lot less of that if there were a greater dialogue, he said. And secondly, knowing that there are other atheists and non-religious people out there makes us feel that we're not so isolated and we don't feel so alone. Alone am I. Anyways, that is a rational center. And turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to just give you a real quick review of the rational center because that paper brought that up, not my fault. And so remember, the book of Romans is called the foundational book. Just look up here and I'll teach you. And I'm hoping that you can remember some of these things. Remember, the book of Romans is called a foundational book. And the reason it's called a foundational book is because five major doctrines are taught in the book of Romans. The doctrine of condemnation, and that's what we're talking about now. Condemnation, where the Bible says in Romans 3:19 that every mouth is stopped and the whole world guilty before God. They're condemned. What does a person have to do to go to hell? Nothing. They're already on their way to hell. They're born a sinner. They need their sins forgiven, and Christ loved them and died for their sins. He died for these free thinkers here. He died for them. He died for you and I. There's five doctrines that are taught in the book of Romans: condemnation, justification. Justified means, the word justification means God sees you just as though you've never been lost, just as though you've never been in the lost fallen race of Adam. You stand before God not guilty. The only way you stand before God without not being guilty is you got to have Christ as your Savior. You have to have that imputed righteousness. That's what Romans 4:8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He won't charge me for sin. And what you got to do is Christ imparts his righteousness to all that will trust him by faith. And Christ had made, for God had made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And so everyone desperately needs this wonderful imputed righteousness that only comes from one place, from Christ, from the throne of God. It's called grace, the grace of God. Then there's sanctification. That means to be set apart. We're put in Christ. We're set apart. And then there's glorification. One day we're going to get glorified bodies, brand new bodies, bodies that never get sick, bodies that never sin, bodies that never die. Man, I can't wait. I think about Annie Davis. She's real sick and stuff. And one day Annie Davis is going to have a brand new body, Billy, where we never have to take her to the hospital. We never have to worry about it. She's going to be perfect. We don't have to take no more pills. Right now, preacher's battling something with this. I'm trying to make it to the rapture without having to have surgery. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm having real trouble a lot with this one leg. I've went to the doctors. I'm taking this cactus juice that was supposed to do something. And this doctor, I've tried all kinds of things. And I'm in a lot of pain with my right leg. And it looks, they say I have a torn meniscus. And the only way to get out of that pain is I got to have a surgery. So we'll see. Just pray that God, I still believe if it would be God's will, he could heal it. Amen. I just hate going to the hospital. I go every week for somebody else, but I don't make a good patient in the hospital, and I don't have the patience for it. But anyways, there's five major doctrines taught in Romans: condemnation, justification, sanctification, glorification, and consecration. That means in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, how we serve a consecrated life for Christ. And so those five major doctrines are taught in Romans. Now, there's three, in the first three chapters of Romans, in this doctrine of condemnation, there are three types of sinners taught. In Romans 1:18 all the way to Romans 1:32, and we finished that about 3 weeks ago, we finished this doctrine about this first sinner. Does anyone remember the name of that sinner? You're right. His name is, we call it the rational sinner. And he has a real bad sin, this rational sinner. Does anyone remember? If not, I can tell you. Does anyone remember what the sin of that rational sinner was? You're right. That's right, Bill. If you look at Romans 1:18. He suppresses the truth. He holds back the truth that God is. Hebrews says, and if you look at verse 28 there in Romans chapter 1, they will not retain the knowledge of God. This rational sinner, and that's why I gave you this, atheist. They won't retain the knowledge of God. They say, no, there is no God. I don't care how many times God speaks to me. There is no God. And they battle the truth that God is. And Hebrews says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I was talking to Pastor Dave today. Those two boys that got saved this afternoon, the noontime up there in Streetsboro at that CC's restaurant, the pizza shop there, it wasn't an accident that they got saved. It wasn't an accident that they called out to David as he was walking in. It wasn't they're waiting to go in, and they're from Stowe, Ohio. And they're waiting to go into a CC's restaurant in Streetsboro. That's not an accident. And I told David, I said, David, someday someone had witnessed to them. See, what they did, they didn't suppress that truth, that light that God gave them, and so God gave them more. And God sent a preacher. How many see that? See, the atheists say, no, get away from me, preacher. I don't want to hear you. How many see that? And so that rational sinner, he suppresses the truth that God is, 1:18. He will not retain the knowledge of God, 1:28. And he resists two preachers. And the reason I'm doing this, I know I probably won't get a lot done I listened to another tape by Dr. Brooke, and he just said, he wailed on me, man. He said, you make sure you teach that review. They learn more in a review than they did when you taught. He said, it took me 10 years before I realized this. He said, one day I asked a question, the kid didn't know the answer, and he was always the guy right on the edge of the seat with me. I thought he knew everything. He didn't know one answer. How many knew they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge? How many remembered that? Did you remember that? Okay, good. I've tried to shell it in your head a lot, so because we're going to leave it. And they reject two preachers that God gives them. these rational sinners. D, you're right, D. That's exactly right. These rational sinners that become atheists, that say there is no God, they're born with a God conscience that God, they're born with it. It says in 118, it's manifested in them. 118, 119. It says, is it 19? Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. They're born with a God conscience. I'm not going to go through, I showed you all about the light and everything, and I even showed you Matthew 5, 6, 23, if that light that's being you be darkened, how great is the darkness? And so there's a God conscience, and if people don't say no, then God will give you more light unto Christ. And these boys that got saved today, they didn't say no. And so that's why David was there. And I said, praise God for Brother David, because he had enough conviction to go witness, go over and sit down and with them and care enough about their soul. But it was them that reached out. As David was walking in, they reached out to David. They said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing great. They said, what's the bus there and what school is it? He said, Bethel Baptist Christian Academy. Boy, I'm proud of our school. We got two more kids coming in. Whew. I think we're up to 81, 82. I don't know. We're somewhere. We're in the 80s. I know we're in the 80s now. You know, it all depends on when we kick out before we get more new ones in. And by the way, I don't apologize for it. When Brother David started, when we started, I said, David, I want our school to have standards. And I don't care if no one comes, we're going to have standards. And we're going to crack the whip. And I don't, I stay back in the shadows. People don't think, but I'm watching it all the time. But he comes to me and he asks me about stuff before he, and I say, yes. And I told him I was proud of him. Because this, buddy, I'm going to tell you, when you have to expel a kid, that's not easy. It's hard. And Emma used to be a teacher. She knows what I'm talking about. And I think Emma was in a public school. Back then, they might have got to whack them a little bit. Did you ever get to switch the kids? See, we don't get to switch them, you know. But anyways, the second year we were in there, I switched one kid back. After I did it, I said, oh, you idiot. But we didn't get a lawsuit, so lucky, you know. But he straightened up after that. I whacked him a good one on his everlasting. He was messing around not obeying those teachers. I straightened him right up, boy. That's why they got to keep me away from stuff, you know. That's why I don't stay in there, because I have to watch it. You have to have control. And those kids, I'm from the old school, Brother Steve. My dad never told me two times. He just grabbed me and made me a believer. Of course, after he made me a believer a few times, he never had to do. Once he said things to me, I did it on the first time. How many know what I'm talking about? Anyways, God gives these people, this rational sinner, he gives them two preachers, a God conscience and the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. And then because they resisted these God conscience and his preachers, God put six judgments on them. If you see in verse 21, they become vain. Verse 22, they became a fool. Verse 23, they become idolaters. Number four, they become verse 24 and 25, he gave up their bodies of uncleanliness. And number five, he gave up their soul. Verse 26 and 27. And then verse 28, he gave up their spirit. Six judgments. And I told you that God shows his mercy even to that rational sinner by giving up his spirit last. Does anyone remember why that shows mercy? It shows mercy because by God giving that spirit up last, you have to have the spirit to get saved. The spirit is the intellect of man. Let me quote you a scripture, Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. If you can't reason, then you can't accept Christ as your Savior. That soldier, that centurion, he might even been the one that threw the spear in Christ's side. I don't know. Maybe he was one of those that pounded the nails. I don't know. Maybe he was one of my, I don't know, but I know one thing. At the end, when after he saw Christ suffer and die on that cross for 6 hours, and he heard Christ make those seven statements from the cross, and then he saw that the sun turned dark for 3 solid hours, from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock for 3 hours, the whole world, it wasn't just there in Jerusalem, the whole world turned dark because all the sins of the world were being judged. He cried out, "Truly, this was the Son of God." You got to reason that. You got to make a meditated, determined decision that Christ is the Savior. Because Ephesians 2:1 says, "Ye who are dead in to trespass sins, he quickens you." See, he brings our spirit alive. We have a dead spirit. When he saves us, he quickens our spirit and saves our soul. There was a scripture while I was talking that something came to me right before. I should have quoted it first. He quickened my soul. He quickened my spirit. He quickened my spirit. There's a scripture in John. I didn't have this plan. Look at John chapter 20. And then I'm going to get in. We'll get into the Romans. See here. John chapter 20. Is it 21, Mark?
31.
Yeah. It says, "These things are written." What I want you to see. Is that verse 31?
Yeah.
"These things are written." Go ahead and read that for me, Mark.
Yeah.
John 20:31. "But these are written."
How many have the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 31? Okay, now listen to what he's reading here, because I want you to get this truth.
"But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name."
Yeah, see, all these things, these 21 chapters are written about how Christ walked on water, how he made the blind to see, the lame to walk, how he raised Lazarus from the dead, how he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and two small fishes, how he made the water into wine. All these great things that Christ did, and I could go on, they were all written for one purpose. All these miracles, all these great things that Christ did was written for one purpose. So after you and I could read them and understand, we could make a meditated, determined decision. Yes, Jesus Christ truly was the Son of God. Read that verse one more time. Look what he says now. What about that verse? "And these are written." And here's why they're written.
"That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you might have life through his name."
Yeah. Now look, the reason I'm doing this, if you can't reason, then you can't get saved. Because once your reasoning power's gone, you can't make the decision for Christ. I know it says, "With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness." Yes, that's true. But your mind has to tell your heart, yeah, he is the Son of God. Are you with me? 1 Peter 3:1 says, "Stir up your pure mind." God wants you to think. Another scripture says over in Philippians, to think on these things. What's ever honest, what's ever pure? Think on these things. Hebrews 5:14. It's either 5:14 or 5:19. It says, I think it's Hebrews 5:14. "Strong meat belongeth to them who have exercised their senses." In other words, you use that old brain. That's why I worry about kids. They don't use their brain no more. They're too caught up in all these little gadgets. Let me give you for instance. Now, this is an older group. I can really relate to you. There's some younger ones here, but the majority is older. We have younger groups in other areas. If I went with John and Betty and Emma now and Richard out to a store, and Billy and Nancy, and I went to Target the other day. They got stovetop for 79 cents. I bought 80 of them. We're going to use a lot of them. Well, we're going to use them for all these coming days. Took them all. I didn't take them all. I took 60 the first day. I came back. They didn't restock. It wasn't my fault. So I took the 20. Then the very next morning, I took the second of them, too. But here's what I'm trying to tell you about. That Target's got some good buying. If the computer breaks down, that little girl at the register, she's lost.
Amen.
She'd say, "I'm sorry, we can't ring you out." Because most kids don't know what 5 times 5 is. It's 25, by the way. But what scares me, the average kid today, not our kids from our school, we teach our kids how to think at BBCA. But it's scary, Brother Bob. These kids can't add, they can't multiply, they can't divide, and McDonald's, you run, you're the manager of McDonald's. I guarantee you, let something break down McDonald's. Here, it's only 99 cents. Well, how much change do I get back for $4? Or $5, rather. $4 would be easy, just $3 a penny, but you just give them $1. But how much you get back in change for $5? I mean, because they really are duh. Because they're so caught up in these little games. If you've got young kids yet, try to encourage them not to play games 10 hours a day. Try to encourage them to read their Bible. The reading is just about gone. But at least get them away from the games. And so God shows his mercy. But I hope you see that. That was one of the most important teachings of the whole teaching. That the last judgment was that God gave up the spirit. Remember, he's a reprobate spirit? And I said that was God showing his mercy. Because remember I showed you scripture in Thessalonians? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Then we got to go to the next one. And this is the last time I'm going to leave this. But I did the best I could with it. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And I want you to watch the order, how God blesses. And I think I gave you Bible maps for the... did I give you Bible lessons for all this? Do we have these, Ruthie? Who's got 1 Thessalonians 5? You got it, Rod?
I don't have my glasses.
Oh, okay. You got it, Mark? You got it, Mark? Watch the order. Watch the order. What I want you to see is the order, what Mark reads here.
1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit.
What? What was it, the first one? Spirit. Yeah.
And soul.
Soul.
And body.
Yeah.
Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
See, when God blesses you, it's the spirit, soul, and body. He's quickens our spirit, saves our soul, and I'm cleaned up today. Before I was real rough. You know, how many are with me? He works on the inside to the outside. How many are with me? Now watch. If God would have gave up their spirit, the first one instead of the last, that the rational center, could they have a chance to be saved? No. Now once he gives the spirit up, how many of you ever heard they've crossed over God's deadline? That's it. Now, but I don't know where, only God knows that. So I'm never going to give up on anyone. As long as there's life and breath, I'm going to keep witnessing. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep trying. Because I don't know if they've crossed over God's deadline. Only God does. Our job is to take the word out. And if they can still receive it, hallelujah, that's between them and God. But my job is to take it out and then let the Holy Spirit do the work. If he withdraws that spirit, then there's no hope. How many are with me yet? Okay. And so that's the rational center, and that's what you had. Don't blame me. Don't blame me on this review, because I wasn't going to do no review. Blame the record courier, because they're the one to put it in the paper. But these rational centers that say there's no God. That's what you read, and that's what you... And how many got Romans chapter 1? Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they refused to let God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, I know I read this, but I want you to see this. This is what these rational sinners are filled with. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. They hate God, Billy. They can tell me they got their own church. But rational sinners, they hate God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Boy, watch out for kids that are real disobedient. Kids that are real disobedient, watch out. What you've done, that's, look up here to me, really. Kids that are disobedient real bad, there's a light going off. Warning, warning, warning. You're far from God. Warning, warning, warning. Boy, you better hope and try to work with those kids, because when you get kids that are really disobedient to parents a lot, I'm going to tell you right now, that means they're saying no, no to God. And so that's a danger. You young people, listen to what the preacher's saying. I know this is a scripture. It isn't the old man. It's the word of God saying danger, danger. Amen? And then look at this. I gave you a colored red, white, and blue, patriotic. I love this. Because in this thing from the Record Courier, and it looks now like we're not going to make it to the, but we're definitely done with the Reform, the Rational Center. And hold on your paper. We'll make the Reform Center next week, okay? But because I ran this off, too, to give to you. The review is only supposed to take 10 minutes, D. Yeah, I know, Mert. But he mentioned John Adams, and he rubbed me in this paper. He mentioned the second president of the United States, John Adams. And here's what here's what our second president of the United States said about God. How many see it? I've got everything I'm going to read to you, I've got marked in yellow. How many have got one of these? I'm still working on the Rational Center, evidently. It must be felt that there is no national security, but in the nation's humble acknowledgement, dependence upon God and his overruling providence. In other words, he said, the only hope America's got is for God to watch over it. Yep. This guy wants to get rid of God. The reason I'm showing you, the paper, he wants to get rid of God. They do not want to retain God in their knowledge. But our president said, no, we got a sovereign God. Our country's blessed by God. America exists because of God. The only hope for America is God. See, the rational sinner, though, he says, no God, no God. But the people really know God that founded our country. He says, oh, no, we want God. We want God all the time. We can't make it without God. Oh, we've left the founding fathers. Oh, you just get out and read some of the stuff for you. One day, Mac, I think someday I'm going to get just a bunch of them from founding fathers and make a whole message just on statements of our Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Jefferson, and Ben Franklin. Just get a bunch of them. Make a whole message on it. I bet I could do a whole message with it. Easy. Notice the next one I wrote, that's by General Ulysses Grant. Hold fast to the Bible. Now they won't even let you take it in, even admit it, that you have one. Hold fast to the Bible as a sheet of anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts on your heart. That's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy. Put the precept in chapter 6. Put the precept on your heart, and practice them in your lives. To the influence of this book, the King James Bible. We are indebted for all the progress made in civilization. What a statement, Mark. And to this we must look to as our guide in the future. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin's a reproach to any people. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't let them tell you about the separation of church and state, because our founding fathers, they didn't want the state to overcome the church. They don't know what they're talking about. look at Noah Webster. Oh, our citizens should early understand the genius source of correct Republican principles. Republic in the Bible is the Bible. The principles is the Bible. Particularly the New Testament or the Christian religion. In other words, he said, you know how we ought to live? Take the Bible. The Bible shows us what kind of civilization we're supposed to have. Whew, that's the society I want. Then Daniel Webster says, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering to prosper. But if we in our prosperity neglect, and we're neglecting it, its instruction and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. I'm going to tell you right now, he's saying, man, the only hope we got is to stay with the Word of God. But this guy's saying, I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm glad I listened to the Word of God. Amen. The future, James Madison, 1778. The future success of America is not in the Constitution, but in the laws of God upon which the Constitution is founded. President James Madison. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, don't be hoodwinked by these idiots up there in the white, up there in Washington, or any other idiot from some college. Look at the Ten Commandments are the sum of the moral law. John Witherspoon, one of the signers of the Declaration. It was 56 signers of the Declaration. Did you know some of them died? Some of their children died. Some of them were, I think seven of them were taken captured. And five of them were taken captured, and they were tortured before they died. They lost properties. They lost wealth. They lost family. Those 56 founders, I'm going to tell you right now, of our country, that when they signed that Declaration, they put their life on the line. Oh, I love America, don't you? That's why I get excited about these. Let me just say this, and he's here. 24 years of serving our country in the Navy is very honorable. And I salute our vets. There's a man there almost died in Vietnam back there. I love Bill Lang, man. I love Bill Lang. These guys put their life on the line. These are the heroes, buddy. These are the heroes of our country. I'm going to tell you right now, those are the heroes. They're these men and women that went to war and stood in the rice paddies and over in Germany and over in Japan and everywhere else and on the high seas. And I was watching last week because of Veterans Day. They were showing up on Channel 61. They were showing a bunch of those videos from the World War II. Did you know most, like when the boys in the Air Force, they lost about 70% of the people that in the Air Force. Thank God for those. Those bombers were slaughtered at first, but they just kept going over and bombing and trying to make a way to beat that German Nazi army, and they did. They beat them. But it took a lot of brave Air Force men to give up their lives in those big B-12s and everything when they were flying whatever, and so they could drop those bombs and put out. And then what they did, they came up with that little sharp little fighter. It had a special engine in it. And boy, they actually sacrificed those big bombers because those Nazis would come up with their, what was the Nazis called, John? The ones that they were real good shooting our planes down. Mitzschmitz, or was it the Mitzschmitz? Anyways, Germany had some real sharp fighter planes. They just killed our bombers. And so what they did, there was a special engine in that little plane you talked about. Do you remember what it was, John? They told me that it was a real special engine. You remember what it was, Roddy? Does anyone know what that was in World War II? They made them because we couldn't keep up with them because they were just slaughtering our Air Force. But we had to stop them because they have D-Day. They had eliminated all the air power, so we'd go in out getting bombed. Our guys couldn't get bombed on. So for one full solid year before we hit D-Day, we had a constant barrage of bombers going over, and they would sacrifice our bombers because Germany would send up their fighters, but we have a bunch of our new fighters that were real fast and real good that had special engines in them, and boy, they beat the fire out of them Nazis, man. And Hitler's war machine got taken down. But a lot of those men died. So I could be here preaching today. Don't spit on my flag. Don't burn my flag. Not in front of me. If you don't love my country, get out. If you don't love America, get out of America. I love America. And I'll tell you, I don't have a whole lot of time for people that don't love my country. You say, well, man, that's pretty rough and tough. I'm just telling you the way I feel. I love America. And so, like, these men that served 24 years to serve my country, protect my country, submarine oath, I'm going to have a, you say, boy, you did, hey, I'm going to roll out any veteran, I'm rolling out the red carpet for him. Because I love America, and I love my vets, okay? So if you think, well, man, he didn't do it. I retired, but he didn't. Well, you do that many years for our country, I'll have a special party for you, too. Amen? But you know what I loved about President Reagan? Ronald Reagan? He loved America. He brought patriotism back in. Boy, when I was a kid, you didn't have to tell a kid to be patriot. When I was a kid, we grew up loving our country. Every day in school, we would have prayer. I went to a public school. We did two things, the two things we did when we first started school. Every morning without fail, we'd have prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. And I was a hoodlum, and I still loved it. I grew up in a kind of a tough little neighborhood. But I'll tell you right now, we loved America. You ought to love America. You ought to love America. It's the greatest country in the whole world. We're blessed. We're blessed because we're Americans. The world looks to America to lead because God is blessed. We sing the song, God bless America, land that I love. Amen? Well, I don't know. I'm just probably about done then. Look at what Ben Franklin said. Ben Franklin said, we have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings. The sacred writings. What are we talking about there? The Bible. That except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I'm quoting Ben Franklin. And I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. Look at that. In other words, if we turn our back on him, we're going to be destroyed just like Babel. Boy, Ben Franklin said that. And he made that statement at the Constitutional Convention in June 1787. Don't tell me our country wasn't fun. They're all like this, buddy. Thousands of recorded statements of our forefathers. They all praise God for our nation. Abraham Lincoln said, those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves, and under a just God cannot retain it, having chosen our course without guilt and without pure purpose. Let us renew our trust in God and go forward without fear and manly hearts. Let us trust God. Yeah. Hallelujah. So that gentleman that wanted to on the record career wanted to show off that he's an atheist, he just proved one thing: he's an idiot. Yes, ma'am. Messerschmitt, that's it. That plane, I think it was called a 538. It was a special plane, had a special engine in it. Yes, but it had a special engine. Do you remember the engine, Mac? It might have been it. I'm not sure, but it was specially made by a big company. No Packard. Rolls Royce. That's where it was. Rolls Royce. I think that's what they said. Anyways, it got me. I'm already pumped for America. And then when I watch stuff like that, it just pumps me up to another level, man. I'm ready to grab the flag and run. Sometimes I better not tell you what I like. Next week, I promise you, we're definitely done with Romans No matter if they even put something in the paper, we're done with the rest. We're done with the rational center. I've already given you, hold on to this paper. Now let me tell you something. I thought I'd get done with this paper. I ran off two papers today. I kept the other one down because I didn't think we'd get to it. Not knowing, I thought I was going to get done with this one. So next Wednesday, Lord willing, we will do the Reform Center, and we will start right at, no more review, we will start right at 2-1, and we're going to see how this guy has got the sin of pride. This guy thinks this Reform Center, he thinks him and God are just like this, and I'll show you. This is a lot of fun. It goes from 2-1 to 2-16, and it's a lot of fun. This Reform Center, he actually believes God. And they don't get the six judgments because he believes there is a God. He believes there's a God. He's not saved. But he don't get those judgments on him because of it. Okay, let's have a moment of prayer. Mark, I do it every time. Are we having choir practice? Okay. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Debbie, why don't you come? And Heavenly Father, I just pray with all my heart that you'll help us to understand your word. And Lord, I want to thank you for blessing our country. Lord, America's greatness comes from a great God. The only thing that made America great was our God. Thank you for blessing our country. God, continue to bless our country. Help those poor people over there in Kent that says there's no God. Lord, I pray that they're not, that you haven't given up on their spirit yet. Pray they could be saved. Pray they could see there was a loving God in heaven that loves them, that died for them, that arose that third day. Pray that they could see there's a God calling out to them, I love you, I love you. And Lord, I pray that they'll stop saying no to you and look to you and say, yes, yes, tell me more. And I pray, Father, that if there's any here tonight that don't know you as Savior, I pray they also would come to Christ. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, right before we leave tonight, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure. I know there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner, and I've asked Christ to save my soul, and I know if I die, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. May put them down. Looked like every hand went up, I think. If you're saved today, take a moment right now and just say, God, thank you for saving my soul. And say, God, thank you for our country. God, bless our country. Bless our vets. Thank you for every man and lady. Oh, God, thank you for every man and lady that's down through the years have given their lives for freedom, for liberty. I pray that we'll have it to the day of Jesus Christ. I worry for America. Help us, Father. Help America to turn back to God. Would to God we could have it like our forefathers, that we knew there was a sovereign God in heaven and that we need to turn to Him, the Almighty, the one that gives us our breath, the keeper of our soul. Help us, Father. Help us, dear God, I pray. And Lord, I hold up that little Ryan to you. God, would you reach down right now and touch that little baby? Lord, please, would you give that baby a miracle healing even right now? Would to God you'd cradle that baby in your arms right now and that you could heal that baby completely. And that baby would have a miraculous recovery. I promise you, we'll give you the praise for doing it. Help us, Mom and Daddy, to look to you. And pray for that preacher with cancer, Lord, Brother Howard Nelson. Pray for him. God, if it be your will, I pray you'll give him healing of cancer. And God bless Annie Davis. We love Annie. Lord, please. Reach down and love Annie from heaven. Touch her. Give her healing from above. And encourage Annie Saylor and help her and all our families that are not doing well. I pray these things in Christ's name. And Father, if there'd be any tonight, help them to come to Christ. Or anyone listens to this tape, may they know that Christ loves them, and Lord, that they need Christ to get to heaven. I pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's just sing one verse. Have thine own way. If you want to come and pray, or something on your heart you want to pray about, you just come. Mark's going to lead us in a song.